Good morning, dearest listeners. I am here to proclaim that not only is this a Sprina Day, it is also a Queen Charlotte holiday in the name of Lady Ashley, as I also give you a beautiful recommendation to stream the 6-part limited series now on Netflix featuring the love story of Queen Charlotte and King George. A beautiful, searing love story for your viewing pleasure to get your week started off right. And I am doing this bootleg Lady Whistledown accent for Ashley to set the tone for the sessions for today. Witness the love and the fucking all over the palace in the name of love. And without further ado, let the sessions begin. I love you, Ashley. Wink, wink. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new Sprina Sessions right here on Restoptopia. Happy Monday to you all as we kick off a brand new week for our favorite ship, Spencer and Trina, on General Hospital. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, my ride or die, who has endured a whole week of Sprina, the highs, the lows, the suspense, the romance, everything in between, including the boom heard across somewhere in Greenland. I bring to you, as always, Jasmine. Welcome back to the sessions, Jasmine.
Happy Monday, everyone. Happy Monday, Keela. Oh, God. Yes. What a week we had with GH. So much drama. So much drama. And the explosion, yeah, I'm still stressed about that. And I don't think it's going to be ending until, you know, we know some stuff. Because we need answers.
We need some confirmation that our guy is alive and well. And this is, I will say this. This is not the longest weekend of my life besides the letter. This was an easy breezy weekend. I was remarkably calm, cool, and collected through it all. But today is Monday. It is GH Day. It is technically Cliffhanger Friday on a Monday, Quantum Leap shit still. And we hope by 2:58 p.m. Eastern, there is going to be a very tall, thick person appearing with a canister to say, I saved the world. I'm here. I survived the blast. Will we get that? I don't know. But that is the beauty of soaps. We're here to watch and we're to panic, freak out, and hope for the best possible outcome. But also joining us today is someone who was supposed to be here last week, but her laptop granny decided to play villain. Decided to say, you know what? I don't feel like working today, so I'm going to die on you immediately. And I'm going to kill myself off, and you can try again next week. So she tried again. She leveled up, upgraded, got a brand new laptop. She's here. She has been throwing shade everywhere, waiting for this moment. She has her bullets ready. She's ready to fire off her shots accordingly. And we are prepared to be broken. For the first time on the session, she is the leader of the booty duty agenda. She has been rocking the boat since we saw the promo for the Haunted Star well over a month and a half ago. She's with us for the first time ever on the sessions. I bring to you, our dear listeners, Darlene, because somewhere I hear splash waterfalls. Welcome, Darlene.
Thank you for having me. Make love to me.
Only a few people will know that reference. If you know, you know.
I came ready, and I'm coming in like Drago and Rocky IV. I must break you. I must break you.
Oh, pray for us, guys. Pray for us, everyone.
Thank you for having me. I am excited to be here, a longtime listener. And I want to just give a shout out to the Booty Duty Agenda, my co-captain, Diane, Deborah, Connie, Curly D, and my bestie, Lindsay. I love you all.
Shout out to the crew. I love them too. And they have been a part of this agenda for well over a month now. And it's been so much fun. And we're getting closer and closer to the agenda coming true. We got there almost a couple of weeks ago in that unforgettable episode of GH, a unspoiled scene, unpromoted, unseen by all of us until the day it aired, which was quite the day that really had us going for days at a time. But we're inching closer to the Booty Duty Agenda becoming official, and we cannot wait for that. So good to have you here, Darlene. As we recap the week that was for General Hospital, for our favorite ship, Spencer and Trina, because unlike last week, this is not kibbles and bits. We got a whole lot of good stuff on the show. It's a lot of fun. And disclaimer alert, because people have been, you know, warning me about this show. And once again, I want to remind people that the Sabrina Sessions is supposed to be listened to at your leisure. But please don't drive heavy machinery. Don't eat. Don't drink. Please don't do anything extra that will cause you to choke on your food or drink or cause car accidents. Please drive safely. Eat accordingly and drink to your heart's content. But please, we are not responsible for anything that happens to you due to the crazy shit that we say on this show. Here endeth the disclaimer on the show. I will carbon copy this to my personal attorney, Lindsay, my lab partner. She's got my back on this because she tried to sue me a few months ago for almost causing an accident. I'm innocent. I've done nothing wrong. No, actually, I'm guilty. I talk crazy. I can't help it. And now it's spread to Jasmine and Darlene. And Darlene will be the main culprit today for anything that happens to our listeners. We love you, but please listen safely. And here endeth the disclaimer for this week's Sabrina Sessions podcast. And on top of that, I lied on this here air last week. I told Jasmine, you know what? There's no way we're doing 2.5 hours. And sure guess what happened? We fucked around and did 2.5 hours of this show, walking down memory lane, getting people in their feelings.
Making them want to rewatch clips and everything. The amount of people that told us they wanted to rewatch clips, we were like, go ahead, do it. We succeeded then. If that's what you wanted to do after the show, that's fantastic. Because I watched clips afterwards too.
I'm guilty. I started re-binging some stuff as well. It's really good content to really remind us how far we've come in the last 8 or so months and nearly 2 years of this storyline that has us gripped and captivated every step of the way, which reminds me, because this is now a weekly topic of discussion right here on the Sessions. And this might be the final debate. This might be the final discussion of who will say, I love you. For the last couple of weeks, I've been steadfast. Team Spencer says it first. But after a compelling argument by Lindsay and Tabiana, in some ways, I have been swayed to say on this here air that Trina will now tell Spencer that she loves him. She will say it first. I will go into my reasoning as to why, but I want to pass the baton to Jasmine to offer her changing her stance as to why now Trina Robinson, sex kitten extraordinaire, will now say, I love you first.
Okay, so yes, after much listening to multiple upon multiple upon multiple debates from everyone, Lindsay, Tabiana included in this, I have, and on this here air, I will say without a shadow of doubt, I am now officially Team Trina Say It First, okay? So, my reasoning for that is because we have had Spencer saying how he feels about Trina in his own way for the longest time. And Trina hasn't really completely verbalized it to Spencer. She's like done it in her own little ways, but Spencer being the kind of person he is, like he still seems like he's doubtful of how much Trina loves him, which, you know, it's crazy because like, I mean, we know that she loves him, but, you know, he needs to hear it. He needs the words of affirmation to actually know. And like one of the best arguments for me, honestly, was what sold me was that moment from Friday, from those Friday scenes when Trina and Spencer are in the stateroom and when they're like going back and forth with their little cute banter and he's telling her the guy, you know, the man you're crushing on. Because somebody, a couple people, I think it might have been Lindsay who said it, or the person that, you know, broached the subject to Tabiana, making that statement, you're crushing on. And a crush is different than loving someone. So, you know, we all were thinking that maybe Trina would say in that moment that she loves him, but she didn't. She just said he was more than that, which is a roundabout way of saying she loves him, but it's not actually saying the words. And because Spencer has had so much going through and, you know, going through his life, with his family, like all the ways that they've hurt him over and over again, and always feeling like he's not loved enough. Like, you know, the one of the other arguments too was about how he always talks about how much his grandmother loves him and what she's done for him. But we haven't heard him say, like, you know, Trina loves me. And we know that he really wants to hear those words from her. And so now, like, you know, hearing all of this, like, that's further cemented. And then especially after what happened on Friday with the Honest Dark, boom, you know, going up. Because now it's more important than ever for Trina to say this to him. Because, like, I mean, it just makes perfect sense, because he's, you know, got, you know, we're, you know, obviously, like, Spencer's gonna, he's gonna come back. He's got to come back. So that's going to be the time for Trina to let him know that she loves him, because she almost lost him. Like, she, you know, she has to say it. Trina, say it first. Okay. I'm totally team Trina, say it first now.
Now, see, you were doing so well, and then you pull the Martin. Well, damn. Are you happy now? I'm on team Trina says it first.
I could feel it. And I almost said, damn it, Lindsay, you win. And now I'm saying it. You win, Lindsay. Team Trina said it first, okay?
It pained her so much to change her stance. She was holding on for dear life, like Spencer holding on to that bottle of sherry. But she eventually said, you know what, damn it, the evidence suggests that Trina must say it first. And I appreciate Jasmine changing her perspective, because I have as well. And I'm gonna let Darlene take the floor, because she was on the original camp of Trina says it first, team Lindsay all day. And I want her perspective on why she thinks Trina should tell Spencer, I love you first.
First off, I want to say I am so glad that both of you changed your minds, because I was going to come in like Michael Jackson in Man in the Mirror and be like, make that change. Of course Trina is going to say it first, because Spencer, for all of his bravado, deep down he's a very insecure, and he just does not know what it feels like to get that love, that unconditional love. And I don't think he's just totally oblivious, he's clueless, he doesn't know that Trina really has this deep undying love for him. He just thinks that she cares about him because he has so many issues. But for that reason, Trina is going to say it first. It's not going to be Spencer.
That makes total sense. I totally vibe with that. And here's my stance on it. You know, Spencer's been through a lot in his life, and the Esme situation has definitely tilted how he views himself being worthy of love. Is he worthy of being loved in return? And he thought he was loved by Esme, but it was all a ruse the entire time. And when you've been played, you lose your virginity to this person, you do think, am I worthy of being loved? Does Trina actually love me? Is this just a crush for her? But to me, it's way more than that. Like, dude, she got on a boat for you. She got shipnapped for you. She risked her life every time leaving that stateroom for you. So all of her actions tell you that she loves you. But he has to hear the words, the affirmation that, in fact, she loves you 100%. She loves you flaws and all. You're perfectly imperfect. She's loved you basically since the moment she saw you as Victor at the gallery, at the Savoy, at the park, for those picnics, all the times you ran into each other. It was love at first sight. And I cannot wait until she finally tells him that, hey, I love you. I've always loved you. You are enough for me. And they can move on with their relationship, and they can take those next steps to consummate the relationship eventually, which we will love to see very, very soon. The booty agenda coming to life in the best possible way. So I am now also riding the ship for Trina says it first. Thank you very much, Lindsay, for that, because you did have several compelling arguments, and everyone that had their take on the situation gave really good cases as to why Trina should say it first. Now we are officially on that agenda, and we cannot wait to see it play out on GH, because regardless of who says it first, even though we want it to be Trina, tears will be shed that day. Have your Kleenex on standby. It is going to be an unforgettable moment. I will ugly cry. I will live tweet. I will be just a wreck and a mess, but I'll do it for the people, and I'll try to keep it together on this show, but it will not be easy.
Thanks for the Esme refresher too, because I had totally forgotten about that. Like, I don't know how I could have forgotten that argument as well, because Yeah, she really fucked up Spencer's mind and made him question being loved. So yeah, so screw you, Esme. Screw you.
Yes, definitely.
I didn't know I was going to be doing that, but yeah, screw you, Esme.
Well, you know what? We will find a time and place to drag that bitch every chance we get. Why not? It's been a blessing not to have her on our screen the last couple of weeks. Where's my baby? Where's Ace? Oh my God, I can't remember anything but my baby. It's been a relief to have her off my screen, but we know those days are coming to an end this week. We'll endure it somehow. But yeah, like, she totally emasculated Spencer every chance she got, even when he broke up with her, even when he tried to have her appear in court to clear Trina's name. She let him know, oh, without me, you ain't a man. I made you a man by deflowering you. That's basically what she said. And I'll never forget it. And that guy's been fucked in the head ever since because she fucked with his self-esteem. And I'm ready for Trina to let him know that, No. That wasn't love. What we have is love. And you've been saving that love for me for what, the last, 14 months? Lord, he's got a load ready to unload. Yes, I went there. Oh, I'm so naughty on a Monday morning, but, you know, I couldn't help myself.
We need that booty duty. We need it. We need it pronto.
You've been edging for nearly 2 years. We got our kisses now. The hugs have been hitting. Now we need them to just bone and screw and fuck at this point.
Hashtag break the headboard.
Yep.
Break the headboard, surfboard, all aboard. We need all of it.
Most importantly, hashtag pick Trina up.
Yes. Yes.
And thank you. Please and thank you.
Post haste, please do. As we now segue to the week that was for GH, we got 4 days of Sprina. 4 glorious, amazing days. And we're going to highlight the whole Somewhere in Greenland adventure as the Ice Princess Saga comes to a close. But let's get to Tuesday's GH as we are back on the Haunted Star Somewhere in Greenland. And we got Goon, 5 and 6, manhandling and tossing Trina and Spencer around. And they're going their separate ways once again. And Spencer, ever with the slick mouth, is basically calling these dudes no-necks. Hello, no-necks. Who can't do your job properly, just egging these guys on. And as he eggs them on, Trina's away from the scene. And then guess who shows up? Noted bald-headed Avenger, Curtis. And I gotta give Curtis his props, okay? I have dragged Curtis on this show. I have called him the bald-headed habitual line stepper on more than one occasion. But this week, this guy has stepped up. He's kicked ass. He's taken names. He's been a hero. And I have got to say, on this here air, he's looked damn good doing it. Okay? The man has been smoldering hot, whooping ass. And I would give Donnell Turner his props. He has done the damn thing this week, being the hero in the storyline, taking care of business. He appears on the Haunted Star as a goonie, and he's convincing the goons, hey, you might want to stop manhandling your boss's great nephew. You might want to hold off a bit because, you know, we want to make sure he's in one piece. And Spencer's relieved to see Curtis, but he's playing along as if he's a worker. And he's like, hey, Trina's around the corner by the engine room. You take a sharp left over here and you go down and she's right there in that room and you can get to her very sly and slick. And the guards are like, we've never seen you in this detail before. We've never seen you around these parts. And once again, Spencer is trying to create the diversion to get them off Curtis's scent, saying, oh, look, it's the Brainless Brigade. Everything's gotten past you. My uncle scraped the bottom of the barrel to hire you guys. You guys suck at your jobs. And so Curtis takes a cue to leave. And Spencer is willing to legit put his body on the line for Trina. And he's taking some body shots. And he's getting his ass beat off camera. He's bloody. He's bruised. And there was a clip that we saw online the day before that appeared that our guy got messed up. But it was just his hair. The curl was curling. in that scene, but eventually his face completely got busted open and it was a gnarly sight. But eventually Curtis does find Trina in the stateroom after he knocks out goon number 7, and they have this lovely reunion. They hug it out and she cannot believe that Curtis is here, but he's here and he zip ties goon number 7 and he is trying to get Trina out of there, but she's not leaving without Spencer. And Curtis, ever the dad, says, oh, you two, like, can't keep you two apart. So they eventually leave together to get to Spencer. And Spencer, at this point, has been getting beaten down. And he sees Trina when Trina tells goon number 5 and 6, stop, leave him alone. And when he sees Trina's face, it gives Spencer the clarity and the freedom to finally say, here's my baby, let me pass out on this here floor. And from there, we have the goons trying to go after Trina, and she's running like a track star, running like the fastest sprinter in Greenland at this point, hauling ass. And Curtis appears and he's whooping ass accordingly as well to wrap up Tuesday's GH. But Jasmine, your take on all of these scenes and Spencer's sacrifice for his woman to get his ass beat in the name of love.
Spencer, oh my goodness. Yeah, I actually wasn't expecting to see them put back on the hottest star because, you know, we last left them. They were supposedly in that bunker with Liesl, so I thought, you know, things were about to start popping off with the testing and whatnot, but then I was like, oh no, they're getting put back on the hottest star. So Spencer, being Spencer, talking his shit all the time, like, you know, but it was because he didn't like watching Trina either being manhandled, because, like, that's his girlfriend, which, by the way, he said the word girlfriend, and we all lost our shit over that. Despite the fact that Spencer was in a dire situation with these goons that were ready to beat the brakes off of him, Spencer tried his darndest to try and get to Trina by, you know, stomping on the goon's foot, but it was fruitless because obviously they had him hemmed up. And when Curtis showed up, because we all suspected that Curtis was going to probably pop up in a moment while Spencer was about to get, you know, worked over, and of course he does, and him pretending to be one of the goons. Spencer, like, I know that people can't stand how pretentious Spencer is and, you know, his bourgeois attitude, but it comes in handy for him in, you know, in a lot of situations, because that is literally what helped Curtis go and get to Trina, because Curtis's cover was about to be blown. Let's be real. His cover was about to be blown because the guard, you know, the goon was asking a million questions. And, like, I've never seen you before. And Curtis tried that. I've never seen you before. And you can see, Spencer's face change because he's looking at Curtis. And then it's, like, basically, like, you can see the minute where he's, like, this isn't going to work. Like, you know, Curtis is about to get busted. And so then his face changes that quick. And he snaps and, like, starts laughing like a maniac before he starts dissing the, you know, before he starts dissing the guards and calling them the brainless brigade. But when he's trying to, when he gets Curtis to go and take care of things, and the guards, after being told by Curtis, like, I wouldn't do that if I were you, like, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't put my hands on the boss's family, and this guy is so, like, wanting to show his, I don't know, show his dominance over Spencer, which, by the way, it's not a fair fight, because one guy is holding Spencer by the arms, so that's cheating. You're holding somebody by the arms, and you think you're a big man beating them up while somebody is literally helping you. Like, this person is literally holding this guy so that you can beat him up. You're not doing anything. Like, you're a punk. You're a punk ass is what you are if you're going to have somebody else hold this person so you can beat them down. But anyway, Spencer, like, you know, when he was letting himself get beat up, it was painful to watch. And when we didn't see him on camera for, you know, when we didn't see him on canvas for a few, you know, for a few scenes, I just knew that he was going to look bad when Trina finally, you know, was able to see him, because it was awful. Like, the guy was just really, really, really working him over. And even when, you know, even Curtis, like, is seeing, you know, the links that Spencer is willing to go to for him to be able to just, like, let this go off and happen to him. But I also have to point out, too, that Spencer, like, you know, when he's talking to the goon, the one who starts beating on him, when he made that statement to him about, like, hasn't there ever been anyone that you would do anything to protect, when the goon says nope, I was like, dude, who hurt you? Because, like, you don't have family, you don't have friends, you don't have nobody in your life. And I literally was like, I would almost feel sorry for you for that if you weren't about to beat the shit out of our guy. So, I mean, but yeah, like, Spencer just, like I said, his slick mouth gets him into trouble. His, you know, because he's even said, you know, he said it himself, like he's a, you know, a hot tempered, you know, good for nothing and all this stuff. But the thing is, like I said, it works for him when he needs it to, because like that's literally what got Curtis to be able to get to Trina, because he was even able, you know, with him being able to throw off the clues about being like, oh, Trina's, you know, down the hall and this, and I just, you know, I just worry about her because she's, you know, the fumes and yada yada yada, like, you know, using his, you know, his status, so to speak, to be like, that's where she is, and there, you know, the guards are not going to question, oh, he's, you know, he's directing her right towards, you know, this person, and he's not actually a guard or, you know, whatever. But yeah, those scenes were rough. Like when he got gut punched, I was like, no, because we knew it was coming, but it was still hard to see. And by the way, that piece of hair, that was the most deceptive piece of hair ever. Yes. And I said this on Twitter. That piece of hair deserves an Emmy because it had me fooled. I thought Spencer was already beat up in that preview that we had seen the day before. So yeah, it got me good. It got me really good. But still, his face was still messed up regardless after that. But yeah, those scenes were rough.
They were tough to watch. And Jasmine is the lead detective of the Sprena Detective Agency. And she produced the photo of Spencer's hair. And it legit looked like he got knocked the hell out. And then I saw the show Tuesday. And like, I stared at my screen, Jasmine. I stared hard. And I said, oh, that's his hair. His curl is really curling today. Fooled me. Now, that was a precursor, unfortunately, for what was going to happen to him. But it was very convincing. Right. So best supporting hair goes to Spencer. And also, on top of that, there was some concern online that Book made a return. That Book got booked again on GH. And I had a whole segment laid out, throwing the book at Book's bitch because he had the nerve to attack our guy. But it's not Book. Book, according to Cyrus, is in the hole still at Pentonville. And he's locked away, hopefully forever. And this guy, this goon number 7, I'm going to call him Book-alike because he was going in our guy. So Book-alike was doing the absolute most, and I don't like his ass. And I hope that he got blown up on the boat because it's what you deserve, you son of a bitch. But Spencer, my boy, he really took an ass whooping in the name of love, and I appreciate him for that. It reminds me of Spike, who got his ass destroyed by Glory, got that ass beat down because he refused to tell Glory that Don was the key. He would take it to his grave because he loved Buffy. And that reminded me so much of Spencer in that moment. He's willing to do anything for Trina. If she's free, I can take this ass whooping. I can take this L. And as Jasmine said, listen, 2-on-1 beat down. What is he going to do? Nothing. He realized my mouth can save her in this moment. Let me get my licks in. Boom. And he got his ass beat. Uh-huh. He took it. And he going to be all right. But Darlene, your take on these scenes on Tuesday, Curtis coming through, Spencer getting beat down in the name of love, and Trina running like a track star.
Well, first of all, Spencer saying the Brainless Brigade is actually correct because he gave Curtis the instructions on how to get to Trina's room, to the stateroom. And those two dummies didn't even realize that that's what he was doing when he was talking to Curtis. It's like they didn't even realize it. And I'm like, if Curtis was really on the detail, he would have already known where that was. But those two guys, they were brainless. He took that beat down, and it was just hard for me to watch those scenes because he was pleading. He's like, my sick uncle wants to, you know, experiment on me and my girlfriend. And I was like, ah, girlfriend, he said the word. And I got like sidetracked and I kept rewinding it back while I was looking at it. And I was like, oh, he said the word girlfriend. He never said that word to describe Trina before. And I was just all in my feelings about that. But then I was like, let me focus and finish the scene. So when, you know, he's like pleading with the guy who did look like Book-alike, so we'll call him Book-alike. He's like pleading with him, like, isn't there anyone that you would just do anything for to make sure that they're safe? And the guy's like, no. It was just so funny, but those scenes were hard to watch because, you know, he has such a beautiful, handsome face, and we don't want to see that face get all messed up like that. But he did it all in the name of love. He did it for his true love, Trina. So, I mean, he took those licks. But that caused the whole controversy. Can Spencer fight?
Yeah, it did.
It caused a lot of controversy.
I mean, the streets were coming for our guy that day to say he can't fight.
Hardcore.
A hardcore dragging for a 2-on-1 beatdown. I had people taking a Pyrrhic victory over this to prove, oh my God, he can't fight. Here's the proof. It's 2-on-1. What do you expect him to do? He can't do much. He did what he needed to do. He laid down for his woman. He took the shots for her. If she's safe, I'm good. I'll be all right. The wounds will heal. Hopefully I survive the ass beating. But the dude, as we will find out on Friday, beat the fighting allegations, okay? I'm going to stick beside him through thick and thin, all right? Rory, may you rest in hell, got slapped in the face, okay? Dex, punch, boom, out. Anytime Spencer lands a shot, let it be known. When he lands a shot, they go down. And then not only do they go down, they get dismissed, okay? They leave. They concede. So get off my guy. Leave him alone. Please stay off my prince's back, all right? I am fighting for survival. Jasmine is on team. Spencer can fight. She's been scrapping. She's been fighting in these streets beside me and Ree and Ashley. I'm shouting out people right now. And Connie. Come on.
And you know what? And Tiffany, and you know what? I'm gonna count that foot stomp too, okay? Because he stomped on that goon's foot and tried to go get to Trina, and he got grabbed up by the other guy. So both of them had him hemmed up. So I'm counting the foot stomp because if people are gonna say that's a weak move to do a foot stomp, it's a weak ass move to have 2-on-1, okay?
Well, I have to say, I was on team Spencer can't fight because, okay, so he had the inadvertent slap across Deputy Do-Gooder, and that was just because he was trying to explain himself, and he slapped him because he was so short. So he bitch slapped Deputy Do-Gooder, and then he sucker punched Dex. So, oh, and then he got punched out by Cam, so... Can he fight?
Now, I'm going to say this.
Not you too, darling.
Not you too. Look at here. Look at the counter argument here on this show. But I'm going to say this. Cam deserved that shot on him. He deserved that shot.
He did.
I can't even defend Spencer.
He did.
He deserved it. And then Trina, who is supposed to have all the smoke for this man, ran to him. Are you okay? Like, oh, you really love him. Despite everything he said to you in that interrogation room. Honey, are you fine? Are you okay? Let me help you up. Like, she was so gone for this man. Oh, we love her. But in that moment, girl, let his ass stay on the floor. But instincts. Instincts said, let me come to this man who I'm supposed to hate. But damn, he's so fine. Look at him. Girl, I understand because I might have did the same thing. Who am I to judge, really? I mean, come on. Look at the material. But that was Tuesday's GH, a very action-packed episode as we segue to Wednesday. And yes, I am so happy that Spencer also claimed Trina as his girlfriend to say the words at long last. We've been begging for that title, and he finally said it, like, thank you. You are official now. You go together real bad. Even though he said it under a very stressful circumstance, he said it with his whole chest, and for that, we are thankful and grateful. So let's get to Wednesday's GH. We're back on the Haunted Star, and Curtis the Avenger is whooping all kinds of ass. He is taking out goons left and right, looking hot. Like, Curtis, listen, I need you to actually get your badge back when you get back to Port Charles, okay? You need to get back into law enforcement because you did better than half the PCPD. No lies about it. So as Curtis whooping ass in the background, we have Spencer knocked out on the floor. Now, this is supposed to be serious, okay? And it is to a point, but I have to acknowledge the thickness that was on the floor on Wednesday. You know that game Operation? That old school game? That was Spencer on that floor, just laid out all thick. Just laid out like the thickest chalk outline from Law and Order. Just laid out. Just thick. That's all I saw. Just a big, thick body on the floor. And Trina trying to get this man to wake up. Like, Spencer, wake up. We got to go. We got to get out of here. He's just knocked the fuck out. Bruised and bloody. This is his longest sleep since he got shipnapped, honestly. It really is. Tiffany stole my joke. She did. I'm blaming her because I had it locked and loaded. This is the most sleep he's gotten since being shipnapped. He's catching some Z's. He's recalibrating and he's just, you know, reloading in this moment. So Curtis, whooping ass like a ninja. The Bookalike tries to break some glass, trying to cut Curtis. Trina gives him the warning, and then he just hauls Bookalike over that damn bartender bar, and he's sailing over, and he falls out. Splat. Knocked out. Done for. Gone. Love it. So once again, through all of this commotion, Spencer is still knocked out on the floor, all thick on the floor. And Trina is just trying to get him to wake up. And Curtis is like, listen, Trina, we got to go. I'll come back for him. And Trina says, no, I'm not leaving my man. No, I'm not leaving. No matter what you say, I'm sticking beside him. And she's like, come on, baby, please wake up. Like, she's doing the reverse, baby, please. Like, please, baby, please wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And you open your eyes. And she's caressing his hair. And she's got her hand on his neck. Now, Trina, my good sister. Now I know that's his kink, but you just can't choke the man awake now. And she had that tight grip trying to choke him back to life. Like, lessen the grip just a little bit, but it was quite the visual. I'm not gonna lie. And so she's kneeling and she's nuzzling her forehead against him. And she's got a handful of his hair and she's caressing. And eventually, that did it. Spencer opens his eyes, wakes up, calls for Trina first. And they lock eyes and she's stroking the earlobe and the neck. Like, they're looking into each other's eyes. And he's wondering what's going on. And Curtis like, we can skip the play-by-play shit. We got to go. Get your ass up. So he gets that thick ass up immediately. He bounces up like Tigger. Like, the recovery was amazing. That was the quickest recovery I've seen from an ass whooping in years. Like, he didn't sell shit. Is he John Cena? He no-sold everything. The ass whooping, the beat down. He got up like Superman legit. Like, the kryptonite left his body and he was healed up, ready to go home. So Curtis lets them know, listen, we got to get the hell out of here. There's a seaplane on the other side of the island. You got to get on there. We got to go. We got to go right now. And we got a team. And Spencer says, team. A team came for us, a rescue team? He said, yeah. So Spencer's shocked that people came for them. But Ever the Prince, he needs credentials. Who showed up? Give me names. Give me the list of people who came to get us. So he lists Drew. Excuse me for the laugh. We're going to get to him shortly. I'm sorry. Let me get that out. Drew. Asterisk. Laura, your grandmother, a true hero. A true hero. And Valentine showed up. So that's your Avengers. 2.5 of them, okay? So Spencer's like, my grandmother's on this island, on this rescue mission. And Curtis says, yes, that's where we end GH for the day. But this is all about tactile communication with Spencer and Trina as she tried to will her man awake by the power of physical touch. Touch his head, touch his neck, really touch his neck. Touch the abs a little bit too. Just feel those rock hard abs, just to feel the fitness he's been working on for you, girl. And then you just grab the hair a little bit and you just caress it. Like, she was handling him beautifully and he woke up. No smelling salts required. Congrats to you, sir. I still want to know the secrets to his recovery, Darlene, but your thoughts on these scenes from GH with Spencer laid out all thick on that floor as Trina tried to wake his big ass up.
It was so funny to me because, I mean, when she was begging and pleading and Curtis was like, I'll come back for him later. And she was like, no, I never heard Trina yell like that before. And Curtis just had this look like when you guys mentioned last week, it made me think about that Martin episode because he was like, all of a sudden he was just looking like so frustrated with Trina, like, come on, I'll come back for him later. And he's like, all right, damn, slide over. Because she was like, help me get him up. And he was like, oh damn, slide over. And then I guess Trina being the, you know, the sexy nurse, we speak it into existence. She just caresses his neck and, you know, rubs his ear. And all of a sudden, it was like smelling salts. He just like woke up. He's like, oh, Trina, you're here. He's like, you're okay. But Curtis really cracked me up because he was like so frustrated. He's like, leave him on the floor. Come on, we need to get out of here. We need to get out. And she's just like, no, I'm not leaving him. I am not going anywhere. But yeah, that was hilarious.
It was not supposed to be funny. This was supposed to be serious, somber scene. But this man is laid out on his floor, thick as hell. And we're trying to figure out how do we get his big ass up. It's like, how do we do this? How do we maneuver him? And it's like, I'm supposed to be in tears. And I'm partially in tears, but I'm laughing. It was bizarre, but I loved it. And, you know, when Trina was screaming with her whole chest, I'm not leaving him. She thought, listen, I haven't gotten the dick yet. I'm not leaving it yet. Okay? You understand me? I haven't rode him. I haven't taken the ride across Mount Spencer. Do you understand? I'm not leaving him yet. Do you hear me? All this, I'm not leaving him. Curtis, fall back. Dude, look over there. Look over there. See if Booker likes awake. Well, I try to wake my man up and possibly his dick too. And apparently it did work. Thankfully, Spencer got right on up because both parts rose at the same time. But Jasmine. Your thoughts on these scenes that were supposed to be heartfelt, but in some ways kind of goddamn hilarious.
Okay, well, to start off with, I'm gonna go back to Curtis because I didn't give him his props, because yes, I agree with you guys, Curtis is the man, because the way he rolled up on the Haunted Star, like, he put in work. He was quick on his feet, zero hesitation, and he beat the shit out of those goons. I mean, he really did, okay? Like, he did, so I have to give him his props. And Donnell, he was amazing in those scenes. Like, I mean, he was fantastic. It was very entertaining. Felt like I was watching an action movie. I enjoyed every minute of it. Okay, now, I'm going to bring it down a little bit for Spencer, since we're talking about, like, the emotional part of it and then segueing into the thickness on the floor. I had to point out, too, the fact that, you know, in the episode the day before, when Spencer sees Trina, like, how he sort of, like, passes out after he, you know, he realizes that she's there. And, like, to me, I felt like that was a moment where the adrenaline just, like, completely left Spencer's body, because, like, if, you know, when it goes back to that moment where he's being beat up by the goons, like, that, the book-alike is like, you know, what do you think? Do you think he's had enough? And Spencer's, like, you know, still kind of like in this weird, like, way of laughing, but it's like, yeah, like, kind of like, yeah, I have, like, you know, but then he's like, but then the goon starts trying to beat up on him again. But like I said, when Trina shows up and does her thing and tells, like, basically, like, if you don't get away from my man, like, which I love Tabiana's look, by the way, when she says that. But yeah, like, it's literally, that's how I felt watching that scene. I was like, Spencer in that moment, like, it's basically like once he saw Trina. But yeah, when Spencer saw Trina, it was like the adrenaline just completely left his body and he just passed out, because he was like, I see her. That means that Curtis was able to get to her and save her. So that moment was just so, it was emotional, but it was also sad because Trina had to see him like that, because she had never seen him like that. And then I have to go with you and Tiffany, Keela. You have to go with you, Keela and Tiffany, because of what she said about that being like the only time that Spencer was able to get some sleep, which I died laughing, and I shouldn't have, because I'm like, this is not supposed to be funny right now, but it's the truth, because it was like, we don't know if they actually slept like before anything like that happened. So yeah, that was not supposed to be funny, but it was. And then you, Keela, and your thickness all over the floor. I wasn't even, my head hadn't even gone there. But then after you said that, I started thinking about all of Spencer's thick moments of taking up space everywhere he's been for the last several months since he got out of prison. I'm like, thickness everywhere, just thickness everywhere. I'm like you said, all over the floor, just all over the floor. And I was literally watching Trina, like when she runs to him and she's trying to wake him up. And like that scene was so emotional with like the whole exchange. But I have to go back to the thickness, because I did, like when Trina tells Curtis, she says, help me move him. I'm like, girl, you are teeny tiny and you're talking about help me move him. Spencer is literally dead weight right now. Curtis would have to pick him up and carry him over his shoulder or something, like, you know, like a pound of flour or whatever is like the equivalent heaviness that for Spencer, because he's dead weight. He can't do anything. How is Curtis supposed to carry him? And during this entire exchange, Trina, when she's trying to get Spencer to wake up and she's like caressing his face and, you know, running her fingers through his hair. And when she says, Spencer, please come on, baby, please wake up. Like that moment hit me like in the feels when she said that, because obviously it was her, you know, her call back to Spencer calling her a baby in the stateroom. And like, Curtis watching that whole thing, and he's telling Trina, when he tells Trina, you know, we gotta go because the guards are coming, because they, you know, probably heard all the commotion, and I'll come back for Spencer. And she says, I won't leave him. And she says no with her, like, you know, her whole chest. Like Curtis, like the look on Curtis's face, he's literally looking at her like, because he's like, I don't know what the hell am I gonna do? Because he's like, you know, in Curtis's mind, he's thinking, if we don't get out of here, we are all going to get killed. But also, this is the first time that Curtis is really seeing the depth of Trina's feelings for Spencer, because he knows that she has feelings for Spencer. Like, he's known that for a while, but it's a different thing when you're just hearing it, when you're hearing something or just like watching a few exchanges here and there. But like in this moment, like him actually really, really witnessing this, like that Trina is basically willing to risk her own life for this man. And vice versa, because, you know, it goes back to, you know, the stateroom conversation when he's in there, when he goes to rescue Trina, and he's in the stateroom and she says, we got to go save Spencer too. And Curtis is like, you too, like, if it's not Spencer, it's you, like both of you guys, like, are you crazy kids? Like, that's literally how Curtis, like, that's the way Curtis's reaction was. It's like, good God, like both of you, like, I can't leave Trina. I can't leave Spencer. I mean, what am I supposed to do with you two? Because like Spencer's willing to get beat down for you, and you're willing to get, you know, to possibly die for this man. Like both of you are crazy. Like that's literally how he is. He's like, you crazy kids. Like that's how he feels. But he is starting to understand. And like I said, I am going to need Curtis to remember every single moment on the Haunted Star when he gets back to Port Charles and Portia starts being on her BS, because he witnessed firsthand the depths that Spencer was willing to go to, especially with literally getting his ass beat so that Curtis could go and rescue Trina. So he needs to remind Portia, like he needs to, those things need to come back into his mind when he's getting ready to do that. And Trina, when she finally gets Spencer to wake up, like all I kept thinking about was like Spencer and like needing words of affirmation. And even it goes back to him needing to hear Trina say, I love you first. Because like the whole time, like, you know, she's like saying all these things to him and trying to get him to wake up. And when he finally does come to and he says her name, it's interesting because I rewatched that scene a couple times. And when he says her name, like, you know, he says it like he says it basically without even realizing she's there. Because if you look at the scene again, like he kind of says it before he really registers she's there, because then he looks at her and he says, like he literally turns to see her and goes, hey. And he's like, you're okay, what happened? Because it's not like, it was like he didn't even know Trina was right there until that moment. It was like basically like just her voice was calling him back out, and that was the first name that was the name that he said, because he could hear her calling to him. And so that, like, I just thought that was a really good moment. And it like the touches, like everything, like her leaning her forehead against him when she was trying to get him up. It was so touchy. Despite the thickness on the floor, Keela.
Listen, it's unmistakable. Darlene, go ahead.
I just want to give a shout out to Curtis because he brought the smoke. It was not smoke from a crack pipe. And we should all know, and realize that Curtis, he is a former crackhead. I'm sure he has had his share of scuffles. And then he did it in the streets of Baltimore. Hello, have you all watched The Wire? Like, we knew that he was going to have them hands. We knew that. There was no doubt in my mind that Curtis was going to be able to throw them hands. And he came through in a clutch. So he gets on my nerves and he's the habitual line stepper with Trina, I have to give him his props for that. He came through. Mm-hmm. Are you there?
Uh-oh. Did we lose Keela? Did we break her? Did you break her, darling?
I think I did. Are you there?
Mostly quiet. You're quiet on this. She's trying not to break, but I can hear it. You broke her, darling. You
did it. I came in, I said, I must break you.
You have broken her. Whenever I hear that, that's why I know she has been broken.
Now, why did you bring up The Wire in Baltimore? Okay. Okay, all right.
I'm sorry. I said I was going to behave.
See, lies, first of all, man. Got tears in my eyes. I thought like she was going to go real smooth with a crackhead joke, and then she goes right for The Wire. In the mean streets of Baltimore fighting over a crack pipe. How am I supposed to be fine after that? How am I supposed to be okay? Jasmine, she knows me. She knows my tail when I say, she's gone. She's unavailable for 5 good minutes. She's out of here, checked out.
Hey, he's had his share of kerfuffles.
Oh God, fighting over lighters and pipes. I understand, Curtis. The struggle is real. It is. But he fought his demons.
Yes. He fought his demons and he fought on the Haunted Star and he saved the day. He saved Spencer and Trina. And that's what's most important.
It's too late, Darlene, to clean it up now. It's too late to put a nice moral of the story after the fact, okay?
I tried to clean it up. You saw what I was trying to do.
Girl, it's over. You can't mop this up. You've done your job. You've made a vow. You're going to break me. Jasmine's still holding on. There's still time left on the clock for her to be done for as well. I will get her ass at some point today. It's my duty as the co-host of the show to help facilitate her breakage. And Darlene's, by the way, you will pay for this. You will pay dearly for this. But as we leave The Wire, as we leave somewhere in Baltimore, Maryland, as we leave this place, God, that was hilarious. But here we are. Whew, deep breath. I have recovered. We talked through it. I feel better. We're here. That was Wednesday's GH in a nutshell. thickness and crack pipes everywhere. That is our lesson of the day. That's what we learned. Okay. So let's get to Thursday, shall we? And let's not forget that Spencer, Trina, and Curtis rescued baby Ace, baby Chunk Chunk, from bootleg Mary Poppins, who just stood down like, who is this? Who are you? And then she just stepped aside, and Spencer picked up the baby and rolled like a G. Now, Jasmine, I have to call her out because, see, she wants to take any victory she can. She said that when Spencer rolled up all bruised up, he made it appear he won the fight. He made it seem as if he walked through the fire and he whooped that ass. And she was willing to accept a phantom victory. And I love her for that. I don't give a shit either, Jasmine. We take victories anywhere we can. If you got the swag to convince her I whooped that ass, you do what you gotta do. And he walked out like a G with Chunk Chunk. And also, Jasmine, observant, also noticed that Chunk Chunk, because Uncle Victor is a masochist and a troll, had the audacity to put the baby in a sailboat onesie. You evil, maniacal bastard. Category is sailboats. Let's keep the theme going. He's on a boat. Let's put boats on his little ass. Just egregious behavior by the troll of the earth, Uncle Victor. But we got something for that ass as we get to Thursday's GH. So the PC Avengers are somewhere in Greenland. We got Anna, certified G, hopped out of her bed in her hospital gown to whoop that ass. Holly joining in tow because Scotty Baldwin, the audacity. Okay, so Liesl is fighting for her life, trying to create the cure for a pathogen. Let's marinate on this. Mm-hmm. She's making an antidote for a pathogen. Mm-hmm. I'm not going back to medical school, but that don't make no sense. But that's what she's doing. But Scotty's like, oh my God, there's a biohazard and they're keeping shit from the citizens of Port Charles. Let me call the WSB. This fool calls them and they roll up faster than the SEC. And then they start all kind of shit with Robert. But thankfully, Holly puts his bitch ass to sleep with some chloroform. He's napping. Ooh. He's sleeping. He's snoring. He's counting sheep and shit. He wakes up and still runs his mouth a wee bit too much. So he puts everybody in danger. Drone strikes are imminent somewhere in Greenland. So we got Anna. We got Holly on the ground. And Laura, certified gangster, is ready to storm the lab to find out what's really going on. And during all of this, we got Drew. Drew came. Noted Navy SEAL, a veteran in the game. And we have wondered for the last week, sir, tell me, what is it that you do successfully? What is it that you know how to do? Can you fight? Can you defend others? Can you defend yourself? So the answer is this. Drew caught exactly one body. He knocked out one person to get Laura to the lab. That was his one job. And since that point, he just stood there and did nothing. So Laura rolls in the lab, investigating the scene. And Uncle Victor catches her. But Laura is a G. Been in the game 40 plus years. She ain't scared of nothing. So she holds the pathogen in her hand. This vial that could end civilization. Now, we know the T. Now, for a moment, I forgot because the storyline is dumb. Okay. I'm not going to lie. We have a pathogen and an antidote that don't mix, but here we are. So we have Laura holding the vial of the pathogen. And she's like, well, if I die, you die, we all die, all in the name of humanity. Now, Liesl knows that this can only work under UV light outside. Drop it, ain't nothing gonna happen. So sure enough, Laura drops it, and Uncle Victor tries to sell, oh, the horror. And it's like, oh, well, Laura, that's backfired. As you know, it only works in UV light. So therefore, we're all still here. And he's taking his little victory lap, and Liesl feels bad about it because she gave Valentine the pathogen, and he's fighting for his life, seeing Helena dressing real good to be 89 and haunting his ass. He's almost ready to check out of here. He's all by himself in the isolation room. So back in the lab, we have Laura and Victor throwing bars back and forth. And eventually, as we have the scene heightened in terms of intensity and suspense, Anna Devane shows up and she's fucking shit up, shooting, and she's beating up people, kneeing people in the face and the groin. She's whooping ass. And she got shot, still recovering. And we have Victor to my shoot the English bitch. Like, damn, Uncle Victor? Like, you cold-blooded. And you know what she did? She kneed your man in the face. What about it? How about that? And then we got Drew just standing there, not doing a damn thing, just standing there, just collecting dust bunnies all up in the dusty ass lab. And we have Laura taking a graze on her shoulder because she's a G. And then Curtis, the main Avenger, who left Spencer and Trina on the boat, who told them, get your asses off this boat, get on this plane, the little chunk chunk, save yourself. He leaves and he delivers a kill shot in the clutch, doing his job, unlike Drew, who does nothing. But let's get back to Uncle Victor scurrying away with the pathogen and Liesl and Laura trying to find out what's going on with this computer that's acting kind of wonky in 1981 in the year 2003 or 2023. We'll get to that for Friday's GH. But, Darlene, let's get back to the question at hand regarding what is it that Drew Kane does successfully regarding this mission? Not a damn thing.
I got one thing. He knows how to make his eyes look really big when he's been startled. That's one thing he does very well. America's finest? I think not. And one thing about Victor, I mean, this man is batshit crazy because when they administer the pathogen to his own son and he's flinching and everything and he says, I think you need a tissue. It's like, what? That's the first thing he says out of his mouth. It's just like he's strapped in a chair and everything. But Drew is just useless. I mean, he got one body, so yippee, hooray for him. But we knew that Anna was going to come in like, you know, the real, you know, warrior that she is. And it was just amazing to me that Drew, with all his military background, just kind of sat idle. It was a good thing that Curtis came in when he did, because our girl could have been gone.
Could you imagine relying your life with Drew Kane? Can you imagine your life being in his hands and he just standing there not doing a goddamn thing? Like, why are you here? What is your purpose? To get Liesl back home and then you gonna get a fucking parade for doing the bare fucking minimum? Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here with your tired Navy SEAL ass. I guarantee you this, if Spencer survives, and we know he did, he will swim better than Drew to shore. The end of that story. Lord Jesus, I can't with Drew. He's breaking me right now. Okay. Like, what is your purpose? Just to get on my nerves, to get red on this show. Congratulations to you. You ain't shit. Drew, you suck. With all due respect, with your Peloton having ass, you don't know what you're doing. You suck. You suck at your job at saving people. We'll get to you again on Friday. But Jasmine, your take on Laura confronting Victor and trying to save the world, even though it didn't work at the moment, but in the moment, she was a badass.
Well, yeah. Laura is definitely a badass. I mean, obviously she hasn't been on my good list the last couple of months because of her caping for Esme every chance she gets, but she is, you know, she's redeeming herself again by stepping up and doing all these things to try to rescue everybody, you know, that's been trapped by Victor with his crazy plan. But yeah, she has a lifetime of experience with dealing with the Cassadines. And when she took the pathogen and she was basically like, you know, whatever, you know, we can all die today in this room. Like, I don't care. Like, I was actually shocked, but you know, I'm with you where I had that moment where I forgot about the UV light thing. So when she dropped the pathogen on the ground. I had that moment of, oh my gosh, she just dropped the pathogen. Like, you know, and then I was like, but hold up, nah. And then Victor is like, psych. He's like, oh, by the way, like, it's cute that you tried that. But by the way, this only works with UV light. So you tried it. And when Anna showed up and started popping off, I was like, oh, I was like, who's shooting? And my mom, because my mom hadn't even seen the episode yet, but she just goes, Anna. And I'm like, oh, that's right. But Anna came in like with the quickness, like full force, she went ham. And I loved every minute of it. Like, just seeing all the women involved in the storyline, just like being so like badass and like taking, like not taking any mess from the men that they're interacting with, like, you know, Victor, you know, it's been like, it's been so cool to watch. And I gotta do my little Drew shade too, because, you know, you guys were saying like, what has he done? I mean, well, he's got Lauren to into the bunker. I mean, he got her as a hostage in there. Like, you know, he pretended to be one of the goons. That's like one of the things he did. But yeah, like, he hasn't really done much of anything that's warranting me to be like, yeah, go Drew. Like, I mean, if he gets a whole bunch of praise when he gets back to Port Charles, I'm gonna be sitting there side-eyeing like, Curtis was the one who was doing all the heavy work while you guys were somewhere in Greenland. So I don't want to hear this whole, oh my gosh, Drew, you saved everyone. You did. You saved so many lives. And like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I really don't. Like, we need to, I want all that acknowledgement to be going to Curtis for what he did for, because he was doing so much more, so much more. And Uncle Victor and Drew, like, their little scuffle, which I'm pretty sure we're probably going to get to, like, that just, yeah, I know that's coming at some point when we get to the next, you know, we get to that moment, and, you know, the Holly Lee Soul moment in the snow. And I know that's coming because I can't wait to get to that. But I'm also taking my moment to drag Scotty Baldwin, because big mouth, sir, you were told to keep your mouth shut about all the goings on and not to contact the WSB. Holly chloroforms you. You're knocked out of sleep. First thing he does when he wakes up, picks up the phone and calls the WSB. Guess what, sir? You're just about to kill your girlfriend and all these people, these innocent people, because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. Like, I mean, Scotty runs his mouth all the time. Like, there are times when it's good that he's running his mouth, but in this instance, not now. Like, sir, you needed to be quiet. Like, this whole thing that's happening right now with the WSB and the drones, it's your fault. It is your fault, Scotty Baldwin. I mean, point blank, period. It was Scotty's fault that the WSB went out there with those drones. So yeah, I have smoke for Scotty right now.
Scotty ain't shit either. I mean, no. you snitch ass bitch gonna tell on everybody. WSB demoted Frisco Jones. It might have been a blessing in disguise, because now you can go back home and maybe be a father to Maxie for the first time in 30 goddamn years. Be a grandfather to her kids. You know, be present. You know, that might be a blessing, but knowing his ass, you know what? What y'all doing at the WSB? In the secretary of work I can do? Like, he'll find another job. Like, he ain't got time to be a father. So he's still emeritus, worst father of the century. But I'm gonna leave that alone. But Scotty ain't shit. Drew's not that much better. We're going to get to his ass again on Friday. But let's get back to the Haunted Star, shall we? So before Curtis catches another body, he tells Spencer, hey, guys, you got to get on the plane. Get the hell up out of here. You got to go. He's trusting Spencer to get Trina and the baby to safety. And he's game to do that. They come to an understanding. And Trina grabs a satellite phone to call Jordan. But she needs to get the baby, little chunk, a blanket. Because listen, I'm glad DFAX is not in Greenland, because this baby is going through it. He ain't got no booties on. He ain't got no mittens. He ain't got no hat. He ain't got no scarf. You got blankets. That's all you got for his cute little ass. Freezing. Now, I know his bloodline is quite toxic, and that might warm him up naturally. But he needs some clothes on him. The sailboats are not enough. So Trina tells Spencer, I'm going to go get him a blankie. Give me 2 minutes. And he's a little leery because guards still running around, but he trusts her to be back in 2 minutes. And Spencer's like, I wish I could have, you know, given you to Curtis, but you know what? we're in this together. It's you, it's me, it's Trina. It sounds like the biggest, cutest little family. And before he could finish it, he thinks Trina's back, but oh no, it's bootleg Mary Poppins trying to roll up one-on-one, talking about you're not going anywhere with the baby. And I have followed strict instructions from your uncle to take care of the baby and you, and you're not going anywhere. This woman trying to buck on Spencer, the audacity of her. Now you want to buck on somebody. You don't even know how to solve colic, but you want to buck on Spencer? Nice try. So as she gets on her phone to alert the guards of a breach, a security breach, Trina rolls up on this bitch and knocks her the fuck out with a vase. Down goes the nanny. And Chunk Chuck looks down like, damn, bitch, you got knocked the fuck out. He leaned over like, sorry about it. That's your gift for not solving my colic. And looks up at Trina proudly like, that's my woman. Look what she did. Big brother, you can learn a thing or two from her. Look how she handled that. Efficient. Efficient. Okay? And then Spencer, sir, your life is at risk. But both of your brains are operating at an 11. Both of y'all just, look at my woman. And he looking up and down like, I would put Chunk Chunk in the bassinet and we could get it in for 5 good minutes on this floor that I was just laying on. But we have other things to do. We have to leave. And I think I speak for all of us in saying that Thursday and Friday was like, we were begging them, get off the boat, get off the boat, get yes. off the goddamn boat. It reminds me, thanks, Elle, for the clip from the original Kings of Comedy with Steve Harvey. Like, let's go, pack up your shit, unplug all this shit, let's go. Come on, let's go, goddamn it, let's go. Let's get off this goddamn ship. Stop playing. Trina gets his phone, and in this moment, she does hold Chunk Chunk. Beautiful moment. Chunk Chunk's in heaven like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Spencer. Yeah, this is my woman. Look at her holding me. My cute little ass. Look at you. Wishing this could be you right now, nuzzling up on her. And he was living it up. Little Chunk, he was the best supporting baby all week long. But Trina grabs satellite phone, calls Jordan. And Jordan lets them both know, hey, y'all got to go. Listen, there are drone strikes coming. You have got to get on this plane right now. And we come to Friday and they still stalling. But we're going to get to that because I got things to say. But Jasmine, your take on the nanny getting caught up, literally, finally, Trina catching a body, and Spencer almost wanting to do her in front of Chunk Chunk.
Oh boy. Good Lord. Knock off Mary Poppins is so freaking dramatic, okay? But first of all, when Trina told Spencer that she was gonna go get something to bundle up the baby because she's like, I'm gonna go get an extra blanket because it's cold outside, I was like, okay, mom activated over here, because it took me back to that moment at the hospital when she tried to, you know, when she and Spencer tried to give little girl Esme the blanket for Chunk Chunk when he was going home, but she wouldn't take it because she's petty as hell. Because I'm like, Trina is the only other one who's concerned about this baby freezing, because she's like, let me get an extra blanket, because she knew that there was no other stuff. And as far as like the baby having extra stuff, I'm like, let's blame Uncle Victor for that, because Uncle Victor has made it clear that he doesn't know anything about babies and how to take care of them. So he wasn't thinking about, oh, let me make sure the baby has a hat, some, you know, a jacket, some booties. Like, he wasn't thinking about any of that stuff. All he was thinking was, let me get the baby, and that's it. That's all he was thinking about. But when Trina told Spencer that she was going to be gone 2 minutes, I looked at my TV and I said, girl, no. Do you know how much can happen in 2 minutes? 2 minutes? Talking about you are going to go. Like, you guys are literally, like, you're walking around the Haunted Star all willy-nilly. Like, you didn't just get, like, just have all these goons after you. This is not how you should be handling this situation right now. Do not separate. So Spencer, because he's willing to give Trina anything and do anything for her, he's like, yeah, babe, okay, fine, I'll go off and, you know, go get the blanket and I'll time you. And he thinks, you know, that she's made it back with the quickness, but then he realizes that it's the nanny. And going back to the nanny and her extraness, like, the whole exchange between her and Spencer, she's just like, you and the baby are not going anywhere. And I was just like, you are just doing the most. Like, you're really, really doing the most. And when she told him, when she says, we don't want to upset the baby, so just hand him over, I'm like, you need to calm down. And Spencer's reaction to that, like, when she says that, like, you know how he says, like, you know how he says, or he tells her, you know, better idea, you can go back to the stateroom. I was like, that's literally Spencer's way of saying, I have a better idea for you. Get fucked. Because he's like, because I'm not giving you my brother. Like, you can get out of here. You can take your non-nurse, don't know how to treat colic ass back to the stateroom and pretend you never saw me. But her being a snitch and wanting to please the senior Mr. Cassadine, she starts getting on the walkie-talkie. And as soon as she picked up that walkie to start making that call, I was like, oh my gosh, Trina's gonna knock her upside the head. Because, you know, obviously we couldn't see her, but I was like, Trina's coming. Trina's gonna knock her out. And then when I saw Spencer's eyes move, I was like, Trina's coming. Like, Trina, he's looking at Trina. And she went bam and knocked her out. All I thought back to was, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Scream, with Tatum, when she's talking to Sydney after that punch moment with Gail, when she's like, bitch went down. Like, that's what I thought. Like, that was literally what I thought the whole time. Like, every time I was like, that was the whole thing that was going through my mind. But Trina is a badass. So, I mean, like, I'm like, good for you, Trina, the ship slayer. You over here running and, like, showing absolutely no fear, and you get to, you go, girl. Seriously, like, dropping a body. You go, girl. Like, I gotta give Trina her props on that. And Spencer's look of pride when she does that, like, he's looking like, yeah, that's my girlfriend. And the looks were looking with the two of them. I'm like, y'all do know you need to, you are in an emergency situation right now. You need to get to the safe place. Like, you guys need to calm those hormones down. Because Trina's face, too, was looking like she was like, that was hot. Like, and now I'm ready to go. Like, let's do this. Can you put the baby down for a second? Like, that's literally what it looked like. But yeah, those scenes between them, those were some good scenes. And it was like, it was one of those moments that I think a lot of us had been waiting for, because we had been seeing Trina doing so many things, like running around, and, like, you know, we hadn't really seen her. Like, we saw her having her back and forth moments, and everybody was speculating that she was going to have a moment with the nanny. So when it came, it actually landed perfectly. It was like, it was literally, it felt so good to watch. Like, it really did. It was one of my favorite moments in that episode for sure.
Oh, I called it. I was like, she's got to beat her ass. Like, you must. The one body you got to catch is this nanny bitch. And sure enough, she snuck up and knocked her the hell out. And I was so proud of Trina. Ship Slayer reactivated. Like, this is what I wanted for her. I was so proud. Spencer was too. Chunk, chunk. Best supporting baby. The way he looked down at her, like, just look at her. Didn't do shit the entire time. Couldn't even cure my colic. Oh, well, she gone. Where's my milk? I'm ready to go. So that was his mentality. He was great. So we get our babies trying to get out of here. And they working my last nerve on Friday. They really are. So Jordan is trying to tell them, listen, y'all got to go. They finna drop bombs somewhere in Greenland. You need to get on the plane and go. We're going to let Curtis and Laura know what's going on. We're going to let the team know what's up. Just get your asses on that plane. Fly off. Go home. Be safe. Go. Go, 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 go. And Trina lets Jordan know, let my mom and dad know that I love them. I'll be home soon. And then they're still stalling because Spencer wants to be the hero. Of all the times to be Clark Kent, I want to stick around and save my grandmother. We ain't got time for that, boy. You got to get your ass out of here. And Trina's like, I'm not leaving you. And I will say this, the look on his face, the near tears of, wow, this woman really loves me. Like, she's willing to do anything for me. Yeah, anything. So get your ass off this boat. And Chunk Chunk during this time is looking up. And like I said, bloodline questionable, but he's religious. He looking up. Lord, let's get off this boat. Please let me get out of here. Can I find some warm clothes? I have been on this earth for 2 months and I have been through the absolute most. Get me off of this boat. He's praying hard. Just get us out of here. So they leave. Eventually, they're outside. Thank God. Now, this portion of the program Okay, let's rewind. Before we get to what I have to get to, let's get to Uncle Victor and Liesl running away in the snow with the pathogen. So Holly rose up at the end of Thursday's episode, pointing the gun at Victor. We get to Friday's GH, and we have the showdown in the snow somewhere in Greenland. Okay. Liesl don't give a fuck no more. Shoot him. Shoot him, Holly. Shoot him. Aim. Do whatever you got to do. Listen, you can harvest my bone marrow from my dying body. Shoot his ass. Do you understand me? She's like the little girl from Rush Hour. Push the fucking button. Do what you got to do. Get this crazy motherfucker away from me. Shoot his ass. And then before she could get to shooting, Holly got to let him know something. Hey, Victor, I thought you would have figured it out by now. But that cocktail you drunk had a little something extra in it. And I wanted you to know before you left this here earth that it was me. I broke your dick, bitch. I'm the one that stopped your swimmers from swimming. And she let him know off top, it was me. I want you to know it was me that did that. That your dick is broke. That you can't get it in no more, literally. And Lisa's like, really? Like, she was like, oh, that's why he been acting? Like, you know when a man, underperforming? Now we know why. And Uncle Victor, pathogen be damned, you bitch. You broke my dick. He was ready to shoot her right then and there. And then Navy SEAL Drew shows up to do the bare minimum once again. Knocks out Victor. Don't know a zip tie from nothing. Don't zip tie the man. Don't double check. Don't check a pulse or nothing. He leaves him lying in the snow. Liesl's knocked out from a bump on the head. She wakes up and then she's like, where is it? Where's that parasite? Where he at? And sure enough, Uncle Victor is gone. Drew, once again, you suck at your job. What is your purpose besides standing there looking pretty? That's your purpose. That's your job. So let's get back to Trina and Spencer because I had to hit pause on that. Because this is where we get to the moment. So Spencer knows directions from his sailing days in prep school in France. He's learned something. He knows about directions. Compass be damned. He knows directions. Good for him. So Trina and Spencer hear something from afar. And they think it could be help or it could be some Goonies. So they hide behind I'm gonna get this out. I'm gonna try to keep a straight face during this. They hide behind Brother Rock, okay? And Spencer's tall ass and this little ass rock. The proportions weren't proportionized because how is your tall thick ass trying to hide from anybody? A polar bear can see your tall ass. So here you are trying to duck behind this little ass rock. Trina's got a shot to duck a little bit better. Chunk, if he don't cry, he can be a little bit more discreet. But Brother Rock ain't covering nobody. Let's be perfectly clear. He ain't protecting no one. Now, in the funniest goddamn scene of the day, to suspend all disbelief, Uncle Victor and this pathogen, he's running across the snow, and because the rock is so small, he can't help but to see them. But because of blocking purposes, he's got to duck and run and to pretend that he does not see his very tall great nephew behind this tiny ass rock. It is... It is the funniest thing I have seen all week. Because how can you not see him? But he had to duck for blocking purposes because of this little ass rock. Now, I love the GH art direction team, but Josh tried it with this little ass fucking rock that covered no one, but Victor had to sell it nonetheless. Charles Shaughnessy deserves an Emmy for trying to sell the Nicholas. Like, sir. Oh my God. So that happened. Jasmine, it took everything in me to recap this, and I still folded. But your take on all of this as we reach our climax of this Ice Princess adventure.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
No lie. That whole exchange, because I know we hit the pause button on a couple of things, but yeah, I was with all of you watching Spencer and Trina stay behind on the phone, wasting time, dragging their asses, and I'm just like, get on the plane. Like, the whole, like, I'm like, all you have one job right now. One job. And I really thought, that Baby Chunchuck was going to be the driving force from the jump. I thought, because Spencer was like, every 2 seconds, I gotta save my little brother. I gotta save my little brother. They're literally telling you, get on this plane, and you're just like, I can't leave my grandmother behind. I can't leave this person behind. I can't leave this person behind. You have an infant in your arms that needs to be gotten to safety. Why are you not moving? The only person who, like, somehow clicks something in their brains about this baby being there is Felicia, when she's like, your grandmother would want you, Trina, and Ace to get to safety. And then it's like, ding! Oh, that's right. The baby's in my arms. Let's get to the seaplane. Like, come on! Like, there should have been no hesitation for that. Okay, so let me jump to Holly and Victor and Liesl, because I have to say, that stuff gave me probably like the best laughs in the entire episode, because it's a lot of like, there's a lot of, you know, tension and anxiety and stress, but Holly, like, she delivered the comic relief that we need in that moment, because when she tells Victor that she is the one who's responsible for why he can't perform anymore, I died laughing. Like, every little bit of her, like, all of her lines are perfect. When she was like, you're alive and kicking. Well, not really kicking. Like, and then Liesl looks at her and's like, you don't mean, and she's basically like, yeah, I do. That's exactly what I mean. Like, that's exactly what I mean. And even the way she says the word cocktail, like, she kind of like, cocktail, like, you know, just the way she says things. Like, I was dying laughing the whole time I was listening to her talk, because it was hilarious. And Liesl had me laughing too. Like, Liesl took me out too when she kept telling Holly, shoot him, like, he's right here, shoot him. I'll tell you, I will give you instructions on how to harvest my bone marrow after I'm dead, just shoot him. Like, she's literally like, just get rid of this man, please get rid of him. And it's crazy because Victor is like triggered in that moment, and it's like he completely forgets that he has the pathogen as soon as he learns that Holly is the reason why his penis no longer works. And then he's like, you bitch. And that's all that he's thinking. He's like, I need to go after this woman because she is the one who broke me. She's the reason why I am the way I am right now. When Drew comes and knocks him out, all I thought to myself was, you knocked this man out. You put him up. You knocked him out completely cold, unconscious, and you didn't move the weapon. If you are a Navy SEAL and you have all this training, don't they tell you, like, to neutralize situations and whatnot? Like, don't they tell you to make sure things are safe? So wouldn't you think that after you knock this person out, that you would take the thing that they have that is the weapon that is going to kill all these people? But no, he doesn't do that. And now I get it. I get it. That they were tending to Liesl because she hit her head on, you know, a rock or something. But still, it should have been in his brain. Let me get this pathogen away from this man in case he wakes up. Not even watching him, none of that stuff. Now, let's go back to Trina and Spencer, because they finally took their behinds outside so they can get to the seaplane. when they hear the voices and whatnot, and they go hide, as soon as they went to go hide, I was like, Spencer, baby, honey, sweetie, we can see the top of your head. Like, and then I thought to myself, Lord, all we need is for the baby to make some noise right now. So all we need is for the baby to, that baby is so quiet because I just knew the baby was going to start making noise at some point, but nothing. But anyway, Uncle Victor running by, that had me dying too. Like, I'm like, this is the most serious moment. And he's like, the way he ran by with his head up, Spencer was right there. I was trying not to laugh, but I couldn't get over the way Victor was running. Like, it was so dramatic. But yes, that was super dramatic. But like I said, I just have to say that whole thing, like, it literally gave me some good laughs. Because like I said, it was a tense situation, and I think a lot of us probably were laughing in that moment. We shouldn't have been laughing, but it was hilarious.
I'm still laughing right now. I've never broken my own self on this show, but the replay of that, come on. The jokes that we did on Friday for that man running the way he did, and he ducking and he pretending he can't see Spencer, like, the jokes wrote themselves. He was a meme after that. Oh my God. You know, this really provided the best comedy of the week, and it was completely unintentional, but I lived. Darlene, your take as we all try to recover from the unintentional comedy hour that was Friday's General Hospital.
Yes. So getting back to Spencer and Trina, okay, when Trina was calling Jordan, I'm like, girl, y'all can't walk and talk at the same time. Like, get off the damn boat. That was just ridiculous, the amount of time that was wasted that they could have been, like, trying to escape. So then when they, you know, cut outside to the scene with Holly and Victor, that was just hilarious. All of the limp dick jokes just write themselves. Oh. And then I was so, like, with Lisa's face when she realized what Holly was saying about the cocktail, and she was like, oh, he can't perform. Oh, it was so comical. It was just so hilarious. And then when Drew comes up and he knocks Victor, like, Drew, you had one job. Neutralize the situation, get the pathogen away from him, put him in the zip tie, but he did none of these things. So then when Victor comes to, they're so busy trying to, you know, tend to Liesl, they don't even realize that Victor's ran off and he goes stumbling through. And I know I made jokes about, he really did remind me of the Snow Miser from the Christmas cartoon when he was holding up the pathogen in this Greenland, in this, you know, with all the glaciers and everything around him, it just reminded me so much of the Snow Miser. I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow. It was so comical. And then when he's running, when he comes to it, he gets the pathogen and he's running, he's stumbling. I got to give a shout out to Lady PM because he just reminded me of Gargamel when he was running through. He was like stumbling. He almost fell forward. And he could see Spencer's big ass hand because Spencer's so tall. He couldn't hide behind this rock for nothing. It was just so comical. It was not supposed to be funny, but I was cracking up laughing. It was so comical. It was so hilarious.
Oh, the tears in my eyes right now. I'm still recovering because that shit was hilarious. I can't get over that. That is a top 10 GH moment for the year 2023 when this is over. I swear, outside of Sprina content, that man running, pretending not to see him, hiding under that little ass rock. I'm never going to forget it. That was the sell job of the year. And I got my life. So after Uncle Victor leaves the area, Trina, Chunk Chunk, and Spencer emerge from Brother Rock. And Spencer, you know, now he wants to be Superman. Trina, I have to go after him. I have to save the world. He's going to release a pathogen that could kill billions. And Trina's like, Spencer, We ain't got time for that. The authorities can take care of this, but he's got to go. Because listen, he has heard the allegations. He says, before this trip is over, I got to catch me a body. Okay? Senior citizen or otherwise. Double ARP membership or otherwise. I got to catch me a body. So he kisses Trina, says, I promise I'll be back. And she says, you promise? He says, I promise. Chunk, chunk in between this hug. Like, listen, if y'all don't get me on this goddamn plane, it is cold as shit out here. Stop all this romance shit. Better yet, get off my woman, brother. God damn it. Get off her. She feels good. Get off her. Go, get. So Spencer leaves. And listen, again, because I have replayed the clips for homework. Nicholas's run. Nicholas running. That run was hilarious. He was doing like this ski shuffle. Trying to see if he could catch him. Hilarious. Like, that run is underrated. Like, in real time, I didn't appreciate it. That run was hilarious. So we're back on the Haunted Star. And Uncle Victor, to quote Stephen A. Smith, is having a very bad day. A very, very bad day. And he's drinking scotch. He's like, this bitch broke my dick. Damn that Holly. Well, at least I got the pathogen. Then he opens up the canister and he realizes Liesl has double-crossed him. She just left you the pathogen, bitch. So if you open up this shit, you're gonna die. And it's like, oh, Liesl, this bitch got me too. He like, let me get me a double shot because these bitches just double-crossed me all day long. Having a very, very bad day. So Book-alike wakes up and he lets him know, like, hey, this random dude came up, whooped my ass, knocked out one of our guys, and the baby's gone. And like, Victor's like, where's the nanny? We don't know. The baby's gone. Like, well, hell with the nanny. Fuck fake ass Miss Fine. So let's get this ship on the road. Let's get out of here. Get me and my great nephews. Let's get the show on the road. So Victor's ready to go to do whatever. And Spencer shows up saying, you ain't going nowhere. And we have the showdown between the two. And Spencer's like, listen, this is over. I'm not your boy. Give me the pathogen. He's like, how dare you talk to me like this? I am the head of this family. Like, Uncle Victor, you don't know a goddamn thing about your family tree, don't you? Because you ain't the head of shit. Sit your ass down somewhere. So he's like, well, if you think you can get this, you have to pull it from my cold, dead fingers. And Spencer says that can be arranged. He twirled him around like the nutcracker, knocked his bitch ass out, and he was gone. Down for the count. Check the pulse. Spencer's like, he's still alive. Let me get this pathogen. Let me go save the world. And then we cut back to outside. But let's skip some steps, okay? Let's rewind the clock. Let's go back to the dusty-ass laboratory because we're talking to the IBM computer from 1981. So the computer is doing some some stuff from way back when because Mikos has another weather machine up and running in Port Charles. Now we have Portia blaming Spencer again. Like, I'm gonna drag you real briefly, girl. Leave Spencer alone. Oh, Trina only listens to Spencer, the person that's hurt her more than anyone else, the person that's hurt everyone he's come in contact with. Like, sit your ass down, you lying person that lied to your daughter all of her life about her paternity. Shut up, respectfully. So as this is happening, we got Elizabeth and Jordan providing comfort, and it's snowing in May. And they think this is normal. Like, oh, look, a winter wonderland. Not realizing the weather machine is doing some shit like it's 1981. So Laura and Curtis, now listen, y'all. Let's think about this. Drones are coming and y'all sitting down working on this old ass computer as if you ain't got nothing but time on your hands. Thinking back to way back when, how do I shut the machine off? Curtis putting in passwords, they don't work and shit. And Laura remembering a formula from 41 years ago and she puts it in and magically the weather machine stops working and she saves the world. Now, respectfully, we could have kept this. We didn't need to do this. This is a waste of time. IBM got a residual check because, come on. Come on now. They got a little check. Oh, look at our computer. Still running somewhat in 2023. Miracles. So they leave. So to me, that was pointless. So eventually, Trina meets up with Laura and Curtis somewhere in Greenland to get to the plane. And she lets them know that Spencer went after Uncle Victor on the Haunted Star. And the airstrike is now aimed directly for the ship. So as Spencer grabs canister, he hears something. He looks up. And we cut back to Trina, Curtis, Chunk Chunk, and Laura. And she's like, no, 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 we got to get Spencer off the boat. He's on there trying to get Uncle Victor. We got to go get him. Next thing you know, ship goes boom, sky high. And then we have the look of horror from Trina, silently saying Spencer, like she cannot believe that possibly the man, the love of her life, is blown to bits. And Laura, properly horrified for her grandson. Chunk Chunk is asleep for all of this. Just knocked out, like, well, that happened. And Curtis just looked up as if he was watching the 4th of July fireworks. What a wonderful fireworks display. Portia would be glad that Spencer's bits are blown up all over Greenland. So she can never see Spencer with Trina again. Well, I can't wait to report this news when I get back home. That was his look of like, well, that happened. And that is our cliffhanger for this week. Spencer, is he on the boat? Did he jump off the boat? Did he swim ashore to get back to his woman with the canister in hand to save the world? We don't know, Jasmine. But that is our cliffhanger for the week as we are left in suspense until today where a body is recovered.
Okay, so... Spencer and Trina, while they're out there and they're arguing back and forth, and after he's seen Victor, and you know, Victor has made his way back onto the Haunted Star and realizing that he's been double crossed by Lethal. Like, when I was watching him, I was like, oh boy, like when I was watching Victor on the Haunted Star, I'm like, ugh. Like, I just knew, I was like, okay, all right, here we go. Spencer is going to go on, here we go. Spencer's gonna be on there, he's gonna have to take down Uncle Victor some kind of way, because you know we just knew something was coming. But the exchange between Spencer and Trina, and I have to say beforehand about Spencer's run, I was looking at that again as we were talking, and I was like, well, to be fair, he did get an ass whooping, so he has a little hitch in his giddy up right now, so that's why he's running like that. So I'm gonna give him a pass on the run because he has to run like that because he's like, I just got my ass beat, so I can't really run like everything is all fine and dandy. I still have to show some kind of like signs that I'm a little achy from that beatdown. But anyway, when he and Trina, like, they're having their exchange, I was watching the baby too, and the baby is literally looking like, baby Chunk Chunk is literally like, he's almost falling asleep while he's in Spencer's arms, and then Spencer hands him off to Trina, and it looks like he's so annoyed, like, can somebody just hold me so I can go to sleep, because this is getting on my nerves. And so Trina still has the baby, and Spencer decides, like, to be the hero by going onto the Haunted Star and taking down his uncle. He gets on the Haunted Star, and when Spencer and Uncle Victor have their showdown, it was, I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care. Like, because I know some people were saying, oh, he took down a old man who was drunk and, you know, this, that, and the other. There are drunk people who have been able to get into fights with people. So let's, you know, come on. I realize Uncle Victor is an old man, but still, I'm still going to give Spencer his props because, you know, for him, like, you know, him spinning Uncle Victor around when they're arguing over the pathogen, because Spencer's done with the BS, like, he really is. So Uncle Victor tells him, you're gonna have to take it from my, you know, my cold dead hands. Spencer's like, okay, fine. And so he turns him around like a ballerina, as someone said, and he bangs his head onto the bar, like he pushes him and he hits head on the bar. The way I laughed when Uncle Victor said, ow, before he hits the ground, I couldn't stop laughing because that reaction was unexpected. I just thought he was just going to bang his head and then fall. But like the owl that comes out of Charles Shaughnessy's mouth still makes me laugh. Like, I've watched that clip so many times and I still laugh every time he says ow. But at least they let us know, like they let us know right off the bat that, you know, that Spencer didn't kill, you know, Uncle Victor. Cause I know a lot of us had been having this thing where we were speculating if one of, you know, either him or Trina or some other people were going to take down Uncle Victor, because everybody wanted to know. Everybody was like, who's going to be the one? Who's going to do it? Who's going to get rid of him? So when Spencer checks, you know, Victor's pulse and he's like, oh, you know, like basically he's like, I didn't kill you. So, you know, whatever. But then of course we hear the drone flying over and Trina is back there waiting for Spencer to come back. And she's talking to Laura and Curtis about Spencer being on the Haunted Star. Cause they're thinking that, you know, everybody's thinking crisis averted, you know, they, Trina, Spencer, everybody's safe now because the WSB has been told that the, you know, that the pathogen is not in that area anymore. And that Uncle Victor took off with it and he's, you know, on the Haunted Star. But Trina's like, no, like Spencer's on the Haunted Star too. And just as she's trying to make the, just trying to get it out that we need to call them back and let them know so the WSB doesn't, you know, doesn't hit the, you know, the Haunted Star, which obviously this is still the WSB we're talking about. And their mission was to stop this pathogen from getting out. So I don't even if they had known that Spencer was on the ship, would that have stopped them? Probably not, because they were thinking originally about hitting this whole ass bunker with all of them on there. Like they were going to do that with these innocent lives, because it's like we gotta we take care of this amount of people to save the world. And yeah, like I gotta pause my little thought for a second, because I have to go back to the Laura and Curtis stuff, because yeah, that was a I know what they were trying to do, because it's like, you know, 60th anniversary, GH and all that stuff. So we got to do callbacks to all these things from history, but it wasn't necessary. I mean, it wasn't, we didn't have to do the whole, let's bring snow back to Port Charles with the weather, with Mikos's weather machine. Waste of time. Sorry. I just a complete waste of time. And like, oh, congratulations. Laura remembers the formula for carbonic snow 40 years later. Woohoo. Yay. I'm like, no, this is not, not the priority right now in the storyline. Like, pick a lane for the storyline, because that wasn't the one. Like, you know, adding the weather machine in there, yeah, no, we didn't need that. We didn't need it at all. We already had enough drama with the pathogen and the Haunted Star getting blown up, because it was back to the, it was taking us back to Nicholas and Emily days, where, you know, where she, you know, Spencer's dad, like father, like son, they had to do this. And every people were speculating that was going to happen for a while now. And that's what ended up happening. Spencer is presumed to be blown up on the Haunted Star as Trina watches in horror with her grandmother, and Curtis is contemplating what he's going to eat when he gets back to Port Charles. But I am going to be one of those people, because it's a cliffhanger, obviously. I'm going to be one of those people, and I know a lot of people are. We're going to be, you know, positive and be like, Spencer made it off the ship just in time. Because the thing is, the way soaps work, like they create this dramatic effect for us, and we're thinking Spencer doesn't have enough time to get off the ship. Because, I mean, think about it, like the immediacy of the sounds, like when Spencer hears the drone flying overhead, and then it goes back to Trina and, you know, and Laura and Curtis, and then next thing you know, there's this explosion. To the viewer, you could think, oh my God, he didn't have enough time to get off the ship. It happened that quick. Like, it's just done. But if you think back to all the things, all the little anvils that were being dropped in the, you know, all the time during this, during this entire storyline, we had the very beginning when Spencer first gets shipnapped and he says, I'll swim for it. Like, he says he's going to jump his ass off the ship and swim back to Port Charles, because he's like, we're not that far from the shore, so I can swim. So they're letting us know Spencer can swim. Okay. Like, you know, which we already knew that anyway, but it's like, it's almost, I guess, like for anybody who doesn't know that Spencer can't swim, he can swim. And then we have Trina and Spencer when they're walking to go get to the seaplane. And she asks, like, he says, the seaplane is east. I think that's what he said. And then she says, how do you know which way that is? And he goes, sailing team in boarding school. So we got two anvils, swimming Spencer, sailing Spencer. So it's like Spencer got off the ship. That's where we are. That's where a lot of us are. We're holding on to hope, as Spencer once said, and he made it off. I'm going to hope that he's going to show up soaking wet and be like, I made it back. Yeah. Oh, and also Spencer can fight. Okay.
You goddamn right he can fight. He beat the allegations. He called him a body. It was an old body, but it was a body nonetheless, and that body went poop, okay? That's what happened. Congratulations, Spencer. You whooped that ass. You beat your family, but it's a body nonetheless. We're proud of you. You took care of business, and you are saving the world, and you better swim your fine ass back to shore for this plane trip back home by 2:58 p.m. Eastern today. But I'm going to leave that alone. Darlene, your take on the cliffhanger from Friday as we bid adieu to our adventure almost.
I'm in my feelings. It's actually, I feel like this is just kismet that I'm on this week's episode because I was supposed to be on last week and my laptop died. And here I am this week and I see this old ass IBM computer. I am in my feelings. I agree with both of you. It was not necessary. I understand that it is the 60th anniversary of General Hospital. I was watching the original. I watched the original Ice Princess story back in 1981. And I must say, it was cheesy back then. So it didn't have to be revisited. But I was definitely in my feelings about the computer because I'm like, this carbonic snow and Port Charles is snowing. And, you know, that all of that was just unnecessary. I will have to say, because I did watch General Hospital back then, I loved the little, you know, clip of Tristan Rogers back during that time. Oh my God, he was so handsome. I had such a crush on him, but I digress. and I just was like, that whole thing with the IBM computer and Laura trying to figure out the code. Yeah, that wasn't needed. But I love the scene, the showdown between Spencer and Victor and the way he was like, I'm not your boy and I don't answer to you anymore. He needed that because for so long, Spencer has like followed the, you know, other people who didn't have his best interests at heart. Like, He listened to Victor. He listened to Esme. And, you know, now he could emasculate himself and be like, I'm not following orders from you anymore. And I love that for him. And even though it's an old man who got knocked upside his head and he was hobbling and he was limp dick Victor all over again and limping for a different reason, I love the fact that he, Spencer just took charge. He spun Victor around in a graceful pirouette, banged his head on that counter, and he was flat out cold. So I love that for Spencer. I really did.
And yeah, I got to point out too, since we're here, since we're talking about Spencer can't fight, if we go and say that Spencer turned Uncle Victor around and banging his head on the table doesn't count, then by all estimations, you would be saying that Trina knocking the nanny upside her head while her back is turned doesn't count. So let's think long and hard about that. Because are we saying that Trina? Because then would we be saying that Trina can't fight? Because Trina pushed Esme in the pool, and so are we going to say that doesn't count as a fight? Like, because Trina's been showing us that she can hold her own too. So let's think about that. Okay, just food for thought.
Jasmine said, "Let me pull up my receipts." She said, "Let me be lawyer and let me let y'all know that all these allegations, y'all finna stop right now. Because if y'all coming for Spencer, then you better come for Trina too, and you ain't gonna do that. So Spencer can fight."
Because as far as I'm concerned, Trina can fight too.
Amen. They both can throw hands. Mm-hmm. See, Jasmine came for y'all at that moment. She picked up what was left of Uncle Victor's dead balls and put them on the table and said, "Bet." She said, "What about it?" She gave that nutsack one last ounce of life to read all of the Spencer Can't Fight people. She said, "I got you. Got your ass." Jasmine, like, she, when it comes to receipts, she got y'all. I got to stand up. I stand for my co-captain. I know that's right. She did what she needed to do. And she said, "Excuse me? Are you saying Trina can't fight? Oh, I know we're not speaking that in these streets. Not in Baltimore. I'm going to leave that alone before I lose it again. Because we went through that. And I almost didn't make it back here to do the rest of the show. So I'm going to leave it right there. But yes, they both beat the allegations. Congratulations to them. as we await the fallout today on GH. And for a quick purposes, Vanna had their great moment on Friday. They had their love confessions as Valentine was dying in the chair. But thankfully, Liesl, ever the genius, got the antidote. It's supposed to be a vaccine, but we're going to leave that alone. But we're going to work on it, okay? So she has an antidote for a pathogen, and Holly has the cure, and hopefully it works. And apparently it did, because Valentine looked remarkable for Monday's preview. He had his jacket on. He was ready to go home. Like, he looked refreshed. So for that, he was around Trina, which made me very happy. Oh, Lord Jesus. Jasmine, girl. Now, Steven, where my mind went? Now, see, I thought we were safe. Now you say he still is contagious. that my girl need a hazmat suit. Chuck also in the vicinity of this shit. Lord, Liesl, girl, this better work. Because I would take back your Nobel Prize for science if you fuck this up. So now Jasmine got me worried this man is still infectious. God damn it. But and here I am looking forward to James Patrick Stewart and Tatiana Ali sharing scenes together. But Jasmine's like, Cassidy 19 still has work to do. Damn, she killed my whole flow for the preview. Fuck. But I love her though. Damn. Had me thinking. Now I'm thinking the whole episode, like, if Valentina, you'll get your sweating ass away from my girl. Just slide over a little bit. Get your sweating ass away from her. I don't want her to catch this shit. Chunk too. Like, get away from us. Shit, I ain't got time for this. But that's Monday's preview for GH, thanks to Jasmine. Hopefully our girl can fight off this pathogen if he's still infected. Oh, God. So look what she put in my head. That's all I'm going to think about. I'm going to think about, wow, he looks amazing, but is he still infectious? Is he still shedding the virus? Damn. But with that, let's get to Sprint of Speculations for the week. The first speculation, does Valentine still got that shit? We don't know. We'll find out as we get back to Port Charles. Hopefully Trina gets checked out and examined at this point. But legit, besides seeing two of my favorite people together in a scene, a body is recovered on Monday. Is it Limp Dick Vic's body that's recovered from the wreckage on the Haunted Star?
I hope so. I hope that's who it is. I hope it's Victor. And I don't think it's Spencer. I don't see it being Spencer. Some people think it might be one of the goons, but we don't give a flying fuck about those goons. They can be dead. They can be blown up on the Haunted Star. I literally do not care. So I think it's probably gonna be Victor's body that washes up. That's who I'm picking. Spencer, because it's not gonna be Spencer.
All right, Darlene, your take on who's gonna be caught up on Monday.
I think it's also going to be Victor, only because we know that Spencer can swim through all the times that Jaws pushed him into the pool. So so I'm going with Victor.
I'm going with Victor, too. And I want Spencer to show up at 2:58 p.m. Eastern, wet and all, to surprise Trina. And hopefully they're not infected with Cassidy 19, because Jasmine still thinks Valentine got that shit. I'm scared now. Like, he looking good, but now I'm doubting myself now. Like, fuck. And I get checked too, girl. You was near him. Mm-hmm. Check yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said, man, Jesus. Was going through it.
He was going through it. He was seeing shit, nose bleeding. Oh, mm-hmm. Lord.
Exactly.
Lord. Jesus. Pray for him.
There's still some words to remember. Danger.
See, Jasmine. Log off right now. Log off. Leave the show, because now you're doing too much. Now you're dropping hints from people that have told us danger. Biohazard danger, perhaps, now that you're speaking this shit into existence again. Shame on you. So on Tuesday's GH, after she done scared us all over again, Robert is in for a surprise. Hopefully everybody comes back home. That's a surprise on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, here's something. Taggart warns Portia. So after a month of your daughter being missing, after a month of her being shipnapped in real time, maybe 2-3 days in PC time. Now Taggart wants to show up and get involved when the adventure is over.
He better have a good ass. He better have a good ass excuse.
Yeah, I need something. I need a good reason for why he wasn't involved in any of this, because it makes no sense. None whatsoever. And I'm just like, what is this warning going to be? Because I'm like, you've been gone, and the first thing you're going to do is warn Portia when you show up. Warn her about what?
He better not say Spencer Cassadine. You better not fix your lips to say that, Tagger, because you know I'm going to switch my bald-headed allegiances from yourself to Curtis. Even though you're thinking about chicken parmesan right now after what happened on Friday's episode, but he saw the 4th of July fireworks display. He just standing there looking up at the sky. Like, oh, damn, Spencer went sky high. Sucks for him. Portia's thrilled about that. Well, got good news report to her when I get back home. But anyway, maybe thinking about washing Miss Wu's money. He is missing a few days of work, but I'll leave that alone. as we get to Thursday's GH, because you know priorities here. Esme rushes to General Hospital. Great. So she's back. Baby, where's Ace? The baby. Oh, joy. Portia is grateful. I assume Trina's back home. Hopefully with Spencer in tow.
Please, God.
Please, yes. Lord. And spared. Let it be so, and hopefully spared from Cassadine 19, because Jasmine is doing the most. Because apparently she wants Dr. Finn. She wants Dr. Finn to go to work.
Oh, yeah, we haven't seen him in a minute.
See, bro. Something for him to do. See what you done did? Infectious disease, his area of expertise.
Yep.
Hopefully it won't be necessary. See what you did? Jasmine broke me, man. She really did. She got my mind all fucked up thinking about this man still got that shit. But all right.
Hey, it's GH. The cure might be instantaneous and everything is all's well. And, you know, it's GH. They'll make it so. They'll make it where everybody's fine.
Oh, look at you, Captain Picard. They'll make it so. Look at you being the optimist now. They'll make it so. They're cleaning up real nice. Sure. Bullshit. Please. I expect the worst now. And this basically wraps up the speculations for this week, because Friday's kind of light on details. Scott is relieved, probably because he didn't fuck things up. Lizzo's back home. She's able to donate her bone marrow to Weeping Willow, who won't die. So good for her. This wraps up our speculations for this week. Jasmine providing the biggest speculation, that Valentine still has that shit. But we're going to pray on it. We're going to pray he's fine. We're going to pray he's cured. But we shall see. And now, it is time for our Sabrina song picks of the week. The songs that best describe our favorite ship this week, because they've been through it. So, Darlene, your pick for the songs that best describe Spencer and Trina.
Well, the first one I have is Whatever Happens by Michael Jackson. And I just pulled up some of the lyrics, and he gives another smile, tries to make her understand her side to show that he cares. She can't stay in the room. She's consumed with everything that's been going on. She says, whatever happens, don't let go of my hand. And I picked another song, and it is by Alex Isley, and it's called Such a Thing, because I'm thinking that Spencer can swim. So by 2:58 today, we will know Spencer's whereabouts. And this song, Such a Thing by Alex Isley, she's actually one of the Isley brothers' daughters. And it's such a beautiful song. And it just says, the lyrics go, tiptoed around my door, was not looking for you, busy finding who I am. Just 1 year ago, you couldn't have told me this would be a part of my plan. love, never imagined such a thing, never imagined such a thing, so beautiful, so wonderful. And to me, it's like you think about where Spencer and Trina were a year ago at this time to where they are now. It's such a beautiful song, and I think it perfectly describes the evolution of their relationship.
It's beautiful, Darlene. You can't go wrong with that at all. Is that your only song pick for this week? Were you good? Did you stay on course?
I can throw in one more. Nothing Can Come Between Us by Sade.
Ooh, I like that.
Thank you.
I like that. Like that very much. All right, Jasmine, your go. Okay.
So I actually struggled a lot with this one from last week's scenes, because there was so much and I'm like, where do I want to go with this? So I phoned a friend and I talked to Tiffany and she helped me. She helped me brainstorm. And the song that she helped me pick was I Run to You by Missio. It's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing their name right, because I like a few songs from them, but it's Missio. And the lyrics of the song go, I don't judge you, love. I never have before. We make mistakes. We leave them by the door. I run to you, love. I run to you, love. I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. Don't quit on me. Don't quit on me. Please trust me now. Trust me now. I won't hurt you, love. I won't hurt you, love. And the reason why I think that song is fitting for Spencer and Trina is because they don't judge each other, and they both have made mistakes, and they're going through a situation right now that's pretty rough. And the I run to you, love, like, that's how I'm feeling right now about like what just happened with the Friday cliffhanger, because we know that Trina is going to do everything she can to try to find Spencer, because that's her love. Like, she's not gonna let go, and they've both been running for each other. Like, she's literally been running for him. So I thought that was a pretty fitting song.
Very good song, great song choice, very fitting for the situation this week and what they've been going through basically the last month or so on GH. And my song pick, I also struggled a bit because I was wondering, like, what do I pick this week? It's very, you know, difficult because a lot happened and I was conflicted, but I did narrow it down to one song and one song only. And I'm going back in my Jeff Buckley bag from his debut album, his only full-length album that he released of complete songs. And it is the title track, Grace, off his album that is nearly 30 years old. And this song is so beautiful, so deep, and kind of morbid considering the situation that we're in right now. And hopefully Spencer comes through. But key lyrics include, and she weeps on my arm, walking to the bright lights in sorrow. Oh, drink a bit of wine. We might both go tomorrow. Oh, my love. And the rain is falling, and I believe my time has come. It reminds me of the pain I might leave behind. Wait in the fire. Wait in the fire. It reminds me of the pain I might leave behind. And I feel them drown my name. So to kiss, so easy to know and forget with this kiss. I'm not afraid to go, but it goes so slow. And the vocal acrobatics this guy does at the end of the song is incredible. I love it. And for this week, very fitting for Sabrina, but hopefully Spencer comes through and this will not be a very, very sad song for Trina moving forward. But that is my pick this week, Grace by Jeff Buckley. Mm-hmm. Nice. And this is a wrap for this week's Sabrina Sessions right here on WST. This might be the most broken episode we've ever done. Everybody broke. I broke numerous times. I broke myself. Darlene broke me. Jasmine broke me. Jasmine broke herself. Darlene broke Jasmine. All of us broke each other. And I cannot wait to replay this and then break myself again for being broken by all of you. I want to thank Jasmine and I want to thank Darlene for joining me today to recap what should not have been a funny week of GH, but it was fucking hilarious.
I want to thank you for having me. I did not anticipate when I said rock the boat that it would mean that the boat would blow up.
Darlene,
I'm sorry.
She's like, I have to break you at the end too. Damn it.
I did not anticipate that that would happen. I'm breaking my own self. I did not anticipate that when I said rock the boat, that that would mean the boat would blow up the way it did. I thought that they would get it on the boat. But I want to thank you both for having me. It's been, I love you both. It has been such a pleasure.
Yeah, this one was definitely fun to record. Like, this was hilarious, because the thing is, I told Keila, I said, oh my God, I was like, this show is going to be so emotional because of like all the high stakes and the drama. But then we're like, but there's going to be some laughter too because of like the Holly moments. And then you guys just kept throwing in things to make it even more funny. You know, it was like, okay, this episode ended up being a lot funnier than I expected.
Jasmine was like, she was like literally calling out to me like, you have to prepare me emotionally for this week. And it's like, we got it. We're going to have some funny moments. But the majority of this episode was fucking hilarious, because the things we saw that were not supposed to be funny were absolutely hilarious. From thickness on the floor to that small ass brother Rock to Uncle Victor running and not seeing Spencer, even though he saw Spencer. All of that, from Drew not knowing what the fuck he was doing, all of that was a gift. Oh. And I enjoyed myself. I've never been as broken as I have been on this show. And I thought Lindsay would be the one. But Darlene came through and said, bet.
And then Jasmine.
And then Jasmine said, well, wait a minute. I got shots too. And she loaded up. And then Darlene came back at the end to remind all of us that the boat agenda is dead, because the boat is gone to heaven. Boat gone, y'all. So the boat won't be rocking no more. It had a good run. Damn it. We end the show on that sad note. Rock the boat no more. But we will carry on, and we'll be back next week to recap, hopefully, another unforgettable week for Spencer and Trina on General Hospital. But as we try to recover one last time, for myself, for Jasmine, for Darlene, endure the week, endure the day today. And in the great words of Trina, Carisha, Buffy Robinson, well, good night.
Well, good night.
Well, good night.